So as I was preparing to preach this week, I kept returning to a line from George MacDonald in Unspoken Sermons that Judith read to open her sermon on Ash Wednesday. He writes that the one principle of hell is this: I am my own. Not fire and brimstone, not purgatory, not punishment, but this insistence that I belong to myself. I answer to no one. I depend on no one. And what struck me in this was the contrast between Eve and Adam and Jesus. In the garden, humanity said, I will be my own. In the wilderness, Jesus refuses. In Genesis 3, the serpent begins with an innocent question. Did God say? And then a promise. You will be like God. It sounds empowering. But beneath this lies a shift from receiving to grasping, from trusting to deciding for oneself. Then the woman sees, oh, the fruit is good. It's beautiful. It's desirable. She sees, she evaluates, she takes. The center relocates. It's no longer God has said. It becomes I see. I decide. The result? Not thunder from heaven. Hiding. Cowering. Covering. Separation. The unraveling of communion. Paul names this in his letter to the Romans. Sin enters through one humanity, and death spreads. This isn't just breaking a rule, it's rupture. It's choosing autonomy over relationship. Then we go to the wilderness with Matthew. Jesus has just heard the words, "You are my beloved son." And immediately, he's led to the desert. And there he's faced with three temptations. Turn stones into bread, throw yourself down, and take the kingdoms of the world. On the surface, hunger, spectacle, and power. But underneath lies that same whisper. You are on your own. Feed yourself. Prove yourself. Secure your own authority. But here's the difference. In the garden, the authority shifts inward. In the wilderness, it does not. Jesus doesn't deliberate. He does not grasp. He answers, "It is written." When Eve saw and took, Jesus hears and trusts. He refuses to live as though he belongs to himself. And that brings us a little closer to home. Where do we live as though everything depends on us? Turn these stones into bread. How much of our anxiety, both personal and communal, flows from our belief that if we do not manage every detail, things are going to fall apart? I saw a couple looks out there. As individuals, how often do we lie awake at night calculating? As communities, how often do we feel pressure to keep everything afloat? Responsibility is holy, And prudence is good. But there is a line where care turns into control and where planning turns into the quiet conviction that the future rests on our shoulders alone. Throw yourself down. How often do we look for proof that we matter? How quickly does praise steady us? How quickly does criticism undo us? We replay conversations over and over in our minds. We anticipate reactions. And as communities, we measure response, attendance, engagement, visibility, as though reaction proves faithfulness. But response is a fragile foundation. Jesus refuses to generate spectacle. Jesus rests in a voice that has already spoken. You are my beloved son. And finally, all these kingdoms I will give you. Not bread, not applause, power. Influence without surrender. Authority without worship. Glory without the cross. How often are we tempted to secure leverage, to align with power, to soften the truth, or to compromise our integrity because control feels safer than trust? Communities do this. Churches do this. Leaders do this. And nations do this. Jesus refuses a kingdom that requires him to act alone. Worship the Lord your God. He refuses to rule apart from relationship. And this is what Paul means, again, in his letter to the Romans. Two ways of being human. One that grasps for security, for validation, for control. And one that trusts. One that lives as though identity must be seized and secured and defended. And one that lives as though identity is given. In Adam, sin spreads. In Christ, grace abounds. Not because Jesus tried harder, but because he remained turned toward God. So where does that leave us? Not condemned, not compared, not told to try harder, but invited. Because the wilderness isn't where Jesus proves that he's different from us. It's where he refuses the lie that we must live alone. And in doing so, he opens another way of being human. And Paul says that this way of being human is open to us. Lent is not a season for impressing God. It's a season for loosening our grip, for noticing where fear has been making our decisions, for noticing where we've taken on burdens that were never ours to carry. Where this week does it feel like everything depends on you? That place, that pressure point, may be your wilderness. And the invitation there is not control, but trust. Not grasping, but receiving. Not proving, but abiding. Before Jesus ever faced his tempter, a voice had already spoken, "You are my beloved son." The wilderness did not create that identity. It revealed whether he would live from it. And the same is true for us. We all walk through deserts, moments of hunger, uncertainty, ambition, and fear. But the question is not whether we will be tempted, because we will. The question is, which voice will we live from? And this Lent, may we practice living from the voice that calls us beloved. May we learn, albeit slowly and imperfectly, to entrust what we cannot control. And may we discover that the life we were trying to secure is already being held. Amen.